We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Right now, he covers Major League Baseball for CBS Sports. It's Matt Snyder making the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parish Show Big Interview, presented by the FedEx St. Jude Championship, August 10th through the 14th at TPC Southwind in Memphis. Get your tickets at pgatour.com. The Big Interview on 92.9 FM ESPN.
So, Matt, I'm sure you know we have to start with the New York Mets. Took 4-5 from the Braves this weekend, extended their lead in the National League East to 6.5 games, and yesterday the star was Jacob DeGrom. 5 2/3 innings pitch, one hit, two earned runs, 12 Ks, one walk. Took a perfect game into the sixth. What'd you make of what we saw in DeGrom's second start since returning from being away for more than a year?
Well, I mean, it's, look, 34 years old. He's coming off an elbow and shoulder injuries. I mean, come on. Even if he was fully healthy, the stuff that he had, you'd be like, oh, come on. Nobody should be this good. This is crazy. I mean, he averaged, I think, 99.7 miles per hour with his four-seamer. His slider at one point had 16 swings and misses and zero times that anybody even fouled it off. It was like, the stuff is just stupid. It was so good. Maybe ran out of gas a little bit with the walk and then the home run. But, man, I mean, 5 2/3 perfect against a good lineup in a big game in Citi Field. Again, coming off shoulder and elbow injuries, age 34, ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. And I was fully prepared to talk Mets, but you know what? Rightfully so. I mean, it seems like ever since the Braves had that 14-game winning streak, so many people were just waiting. Oh, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when the Braves take over first place in the NL East. But the Mets played really well in July, all the way back up to 6.5 games now from a half game. So they look like the team to beat right now.
DeGrom is still touching 102. He did it in the first inning yesterday. Does that concern you at all? There was some thought when he was away that he might dial it back a little bit, because there's some thought that him throwing with the velocity with which he throws is leading to him not being as healthy as you would like him to be. And yet, boom, he's fire. He's throwing harder than he's ever thrown.
I don't know how much, if we would even have any pertinent research at all, if a few miles per hour makes a difference. I mean, if he dials it down a little bit, then it's like 98. And is that going to make the difference between his shoulder falling apart and holding up? I don't know that answer. We don't know. I'm content to live in the moment and be really excited that he can still throw that hard, but I could definitely understand if anybody's like, uh-oh, wait a minute, how's he going to hold on the rest of the year? But, I mean, by the same token, he's probably going to opt out of his contract at the end of this year. He knows his body. He's risking money. So if he feels like he's good, I probably would let him go and continue to handle him like kid gloves the way the Mets have in these first two outings, knowing that these are important games, but they're not October games. And that's where the real Mets 2022 season at this point is going to come down to October and maybe November, because the World Series bleeds into November. And the goal is to have them, you know, full go come November and October. It seems like they're content with it, so who am I to argue?
I'm talking to Matt Snyder from CBS Sports. One last thing on the Mets. Explain Edwin Diaz to me. When he got traded to New York, I hated him in his first year. His ERA was 5.59. He was blowing one save after another, ended up with 7 blown saves in the year. It felt like 700. And now he appears to be basically unhittable. He struck out the side in the ninth yesterday. He has the highest strikeout per nine inning ratio in the history of Major League Baseball right now. He's getting, you know, discussed as a legitimate Cy Young candidate, even though relievers don't normally win that award. How did he go from seemingly unable to pitch in New York to being, it appears, the best closer in the world?
Well, the stuff's been there. I mean, that's the guy they traded for. In 2018, he saved 57 games for the Mariners, and he was unbelievable. Just that year, 124 strikeouts against 17 walks in that season. It was ridiculous, and he was only 24. So everybody thought this was going to be the best closer in the league for the next decade, kind of the path that Craig Kimbrell had before him, or Kenley Jansen even. Seems like he got off to a bad start in New York. Sometimes those things can snowball. Sometimes guys can get inside their own heads. I don't know if it was necessarily New York, but, you know, relievers can be volatile. We've seen that. And the guys that are consistent throughout their careers, Mariano Rivera types, obviously he's one of a kind, but the types that can be consistently elite-level closers for over a decade are few and far between. It's because it's such a high-pressure role, you can easily cough up games, and that's all you have. You know, you have three outs to get, and if you cough up the game within those three outs, that was your entire game. It's not like you struck out in the first two, your first two at-bats in a game, and then you got another chance in the sixth or seventh inning at the plate. It's, this is all you've got, and I think that it mentally can take a toll on guys. So, you know, maybe it was just a matter of he got off to a really good start. The Mets were off to a great start. Again, he's had the stuff all along. Maybe it was staying out of his own way, but, man, the command is ridiculous. The slider is just pure filth right now. It's a thing of beauty.
Talking to Matt Snyder from CBS Sports, the Cardinals completed a three-game sweep of the Yankees yesterday. The Yanks, they still have the best record in the American League, but they've lost five straight, 6-7. They're 6-11 since the All-Star break. What is wrong with New York's other baseball team, if you'll allow me to describe them that way?
Yeah, absolutely. Your show, by all means. You know what? It seems like a lot of it early in the season, they were playing way too well. They were winning too many games where they were toss-up. Like, they were 14-4 at one point in one-run games. And if you look at even that Astros series, the four-game series in Yankee Stadium, where they split those four games, the only two innings that they led that entire series were their two walk-offs. They basically probably should have been swept in four there. The starting rotation was probably hitting its 99th percentile. You know, you expect Gerrit Cole to be really good, but Nestor Cortez looks like he was going to win the Cy Young. You were still getting Jameson Taillon, Luis Severino, Jordan Montgomery at the time. Now he's on the Cardinals. But those guys were all looking like, if not frontline starters, mid-rotation starters. So you had the rotation was kind of carrying them. Clay Holmes was throwing out of his mind at the end of the bullpen there. And it just seemed like a lot of it was kind of regression to the mean. You know, the rotation has come back to earth. Now Severino's hurt. They traded Montgomery. Not a good debut for Frankie Montas at all yesterday. Aroldis Chapman is, you never know what you're going to get. Clay Holmes has come back to earth. Meanwhile, Chad Green and Michael King are lost for the season, so the bullpen's thin now. And the offense, while you've got Anthony Rizzo still in there, like Giancarlo Stanton's hurt, it just feels like they're overly reliant on Aaron Judge to hit a huge three-run bomb at this point. Obviously, they've gotten a ton of work from Matt Carpenter there from out of nowhere. LeBayhew's been good recently, but it seems like a lot of regression to the mean. You expect things to even out. They weren't going to win 120. I don't think they're as bad as they've been playing the past month, but they're definitely not as good as they were before that either.
You mentioned Aaron Judge. He's got an MLB best, 43 home runs, on pace to get to 64, which would obviously pass Roger Maris, the man who held the record at 61 until the steroid era obliterated. The record is obviously 73. Barry Bonds, 2001. Yes. McGuire's got 70. Sosa, 66 and 98. But each of those seasons has a cloud over it. So I guess here's my question. Would Aaron Judge passing Roger Maris be a big baseball deal?
Yeah, I think it would. I'm of two minds here. Number one is I think it would be really good for business for us if we had a Yankee get up into the mid-60s there, because the numbers would be through the roof, I'm pretty sure. but, you know, it is... I think I would be incredibly annoyed with all the consternation over what's the quote-unquote real home run record. Well, the real home run record is 73. We all saw it happen. there was no testing system in place, and there had never been before that either. But you know, when at the end of July, Judge reached 40 home runs before we turned the calendar to August. Only, I think it was 8 guys in Major League history have ever gotten there. And all I did was list the guys who did it. And I already, my Twitter mentions blew up from people saying, why did you list Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, and Barry Bonds? Those don't count. And I was like, well, yeah, they do, because they happened. I mean, so I feel like if he gets between 61 and 73, which looks like a decent chance, I'm going to deal with that for like 3 weeks. And like I said, I'm of two minds. On one hand, maybe incredibly annoying. On another, it might be kind of entertaining.
Aaron Judge is also doing this the season before he heads into unrestricted free agency. Should Yankee fans be concerned that he might not be a Yankee much longer? Or is the thought that the Yankees will just, they'll match any offer they got to match. They're not going to let this guy walk.
In theory, they should. It should be the latter.
Right.
But other than the Gerrit Cole signing, the last 5-6 years, I feel like they have not been the team that says, I'm going to blow everybody else out of the water for somebody. Judge is 30. They had their chance to extend him and not let him even get to free agency. I feel like somebody like the Giants, who have plenty of money, don't have a ton of money on the books. Judge is from the Bay Area. I feel like, you know, they might give him a huge offer. The Yankees might say, you know what, whatever. And Judge might say, hey, I'm fully content to go back home. So I could totally see something like that happening. But, yeah, I mean, it's like I said, in theory, there's no way they should let anybody outbid them. And they've already been together for 7 years. So you would think they could make this thing work here.
Back to the Cardinals, coming off that 3-game sweep of the Yankees. They've now passed the Brewers in the NL Central. After Milwaukee traded Josh Hader, all-star reliever, to San Diego, you don't see first-place teams trade all-stars too often. But that is what Milwaukee did. Is there a great explanation for why the Brewers did that?
It's money. It looks like Hader doesn't hit free agency until after 2023, but he's going to have a huge arbitration salary next year. It looks like the Brewers just didn't want to pay it, whether that came from ownership or whether that was David Stearns looking at the payroll for next year and looking at how he thought he could best tailor the roster to what they wanted to accomplish next season. Whatever it was, it looks like it was a cost-saving maneuver. And, you know, Devin Williams, who was the setup man, moving into the closer's role, he's an all-star, he's a stud. You would think he would have been at least somewhat ready to take over closer and almost excited, like, hey, yeah, this it's my job, I'm going to take over. He had like a two-minute interview in the clubhouse where it was like, he was almost inconsolable because he couldn't believe that they would trade Hader away. And surely that was the general mood of the clubhouse. Like, hey, we're in first place. We've got a good thing going here. We've made one run to the NLCS, but not the World Series at all yet. We want to make a run of this, and you just traded one of our best players. So, and look, they've lost 5 of 6 since then, and the bullpen has given up multiple runs in all 5 of those games. It might not be a correlation and causation situation, but, man, baseball's a mental grind as much as it is a physical grind. And mentally, that team had to have felt like they just got a punch in the gut from their general manager.
Wrapping up here with Matt Snyder from CBS Sports. Last thing before I let you go, probably the biggest baseball headline of the weekend, besides the Mets extending the lead, or even with the Mets extending the lead in the NL East and Scherzer and DeGrom being San Diego plays the Dodgers, 3-game set. And this comes right after they've added Juan Soto, Josh Bell, Josh Hader, and they're outscored 20-4 while losing all 3 games, getting swept. How humbling is that for that franchise?
It has to be a little bit, right? You know, the first game, they had everybody in the lineup. Soto drew the walk to kind of get the line moving. Josh Bell got on base in there, and then Brandon Drury hit a grand slam, and they were just partying it up in Petco. They sold a bunch of extra season tickets after that. They're flying high. They go into L.A. and get their teeth kicked in for 3 games. Look, as I wrote in my column on when Soto got traded to the Padres, that was the biggest deal of the trade deadline. It's a huge deal when a team that's a playoff contender adds somebody like Juan Soto in addition to players like Josh Bell and Josh Hader and Brandon Drury. But the Dodgers were better all along. They were already deeper. They were already much more talented. Maybe that was just, you know, kind of a karmic type of the stars aligned right after the trade deadline just to give everybody a quick reminder, like, oh, hey, by the way, the Dodgers just went 21-5 in July. And, oh, they're now 7-0 in August so far. So they're world beaters right now. And, yes, they're way better than the 15.5-game lead over the Padres. I will say, though, that doesn't necessarily mean that if they meet in the playoffs, the Dodgers are still going to own them. And as you will know, and as I will know as a Cubs fan, in 2015, the Cubs won all 7 regular season games from the Mets.
Right.
And then in the NLCS, the Mets swept the Cubs. And as Juan Soto well knows, the 2019 Dodgers were much deeper and much better than the Nationals, but the Nationals still beat them. I would say last year the Dodgers were better than the Braves, but the Braves beat them in the NLCS. So the Dodgers are a much better team. They're much deeper. It was a reminder of that, but that doesn't mean that come postseason it's going to go down the same way. It might, but it doesn't mean it will.
That is Matt Snyder from CBS Sports. Make sure you're reading him, CBSSports.com. Follow him on Twitter, at Matt Snyder CBS. Thanks so much for your time, buddy. I appreciate it.
Hey, all right, man. Have a good one.
All right, you too. That's Matt Snyder from CBS Sports.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.